Thank you so much, Liz and Brittany, mother, daughter. Praise the Lord. That was a beautiful song. And, you know, if we understood, we wouldn't need faith. If we just always understand, you say, there's just so many things I don't understand. There's so many opportunities for you to trust God. That's what it is every time. I want to talk to you about a mother's faith, 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 to 5 that we just read. And again, verse 5 says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Father, thank you for this service. Thank you for everything that's taken place. And God, it's just been a blessing, and we're so glad we could meet together and have this service. I thank you for every person who's here. We know there's no one here by accident, but you brought us together today to be here for this time. And so please use your word to speak to our hearts. I pray you'll challenge anyone who's not saved to get saved today. And then I pray that you'll challenge all that are Christians, God, just to be different, to be what you want us to be because of today. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. By the way, just three little children up here, three little babies up here should get to you a little bit. They're counting on us. Amen. I mean, they need us to keep doing right. They need us to keep, just stick to the old Bible. Just keep preaching the word. They need us, just keep going. Amen. I mean, honest, they, you know, you say, well, I'm kind of thinking about just, you know, I'm just going to quit serving God, or I'm going to get out of church, or I'm going to backslide. No, those kids need you to keep going. Amen. They need you to do right. They need us to do right. They need a place where God's power is present. They need a place where God will speak to their hearts. They need a place where God will show them their need to be saved, and it won't all be whitewashed away. They need somewhere where hell is hot and where heaven's beautiful and where we can call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. They need that, and so they need us. And But I think about a mother's faith every time I read this, and we see it so clearly. A mother and then also a grandmother is mentioned here as well. And Paul here is writing to Timothy, who's a young preacher, and obviously Paul has been training him and teaching him. And he says in verse 2, he's like a son. It says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Very close relationship there. Verse 3 says, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. And here's somebody, means a lot to Paul. Timothy is very special to Paul, and he talks about his prayers when he's praying night and day. And by the way, that ought to be our prayer lives. There ought to be night and day praying, amen? And again, these little children, you know, they could use your prayers night and day. Certainly their parents could use your prayers during the day, but also at night, especially the mothers who get up and take care of the children. Right? Mike, do you get up in the middle of the night and take? No. Okay, that's what I thought. But I thought I was right on that. Brother Varnum, where are you? Where'd he go? There he is. Do you ever get up in the middle of the night? Not very often. Not to take care of the baby, right? Okay. Where's Paul? Do you get up in the middle of the night and take care of the baby? Not very often. Isn't that something? But we're up, and when we get up and we pray, I pray a lot of times in the middle of the night. You know, Paul said, when I'm praying, I'm thinking about you, Timothy. I'm praying for you, Timothy. I'm praying that God will bless you. And so he thinks about him, and he reminisces about Timothy. Verse 4, he misses him, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. And he misses him. They have a close relationship. He's obviously counseled with him. He's watched him as he's wept over things in his life. And then verse 5, he talks about his faith. I remember when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. And then he refers to his mother and his grandmother. And then he says, I am persuaded that in thee also. He thinks about his faith. It's interesting, as he thinks about him, he's not thinking about Timothy and how well he did the last time he watched him play baseball. He's not referring to Timothy's last basketball game. I'm not saying those are bad things. I'm just saying that's not what Paul's thinking of. Paul is not recalling the last time Timothy sang a song, or, you know, he's not talking about that. He's talking about his faith. Timothy, I've observed you. I've watched you. Now, when I think about you, I think about how great faith you have. You just You know, he's the kind of guy, it's like when you're telling him something bad, he says, yeah, but God's going to take care of that. It's when the storm is coming, and Timothy would be the one that says, well, it's okay, we'll just trust the Lord. It's like I was preaching about on Wednesday when Timothy, when he's nailing something and he hits his thumb, instead of cursing God, he said, well, praise God. And everything just is, he's just got this great faith. He reminisces. I have people that I reminisce about and how they have such great faith. But the thing that really gets our attention, I think, and it should get our attention, just right here, this little blip in here. I mean, obviously, the second letter to Timothy, so much of it is about Timothy. But here we have this little, okay, well, Timothy, where did you get your faith? Where did it come from? And Paul has recognized, he says, it dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. Grandmother and mother. And I cannot think of a better challenge to us as we think of Timothy and the great things that Timothy did, but to Paul, such a blessing to Paul and such a remembrance to Paul. Boy, this Timothy, he has such great faith, and I watched him as he stood for right, and I watched him take his stand and suffer persecution. I saw him just believe God for so many things, and I was thinking about our zoo trip on Friday, and we had all these people, first thing I did, so many of our teachers, first thing they did was get on their knees and beg God that it not rain. First thing I did was get out my phone and look at the radar. Sorry, I got to confess, that's what happened. I'm thinking, they're calling for rain. I'm looking, there's this blob. We just call them green blobs. It's not meteorology. It's not proper to, call it a blob, but it just, to me, it's a great big green, yellow, red blob. And that green, yellow, red blob is pressing toward the zoo. And I come into the staff meeting, and I said, oh, got your umbrella? And one teacher, I'm praying that God doesn't let it rain. I said, okay. And another teacher, I said, are you prepared? You got a poncho? Oh, I'm praying that it doesn't rain. You see what I'm saying? And I just kind of, get out my phone, look at this. I'm praying that it doesn't rain. And I said, okay, good. That's what you should do. Do you know that I kept checking my radar all morning? And that blob, it just couldn't go any further. It was so fun to watch. I love stuff like that, except that I felt kind of guilty. But that's like God in heaven for these ladies. God in heaven, well, and the children, obviously. The men, they're like me. They didn't care. No, but it's like God is holding back that storm. And he did hold it back. And it wasn't until they got ready to leave and it started to sprinkle. And by the way, I started getting texts too. It's not raining. It's not raining yet. And so about to leave, I got three texts. It's just now starting to rain. We're leaving. Na, 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 na. But anyway, I'm just telling you. Yeah, this is what Paul saw. Paul said, Timothy, I see this faith in you. But he obviously noticed it was in mom and grandma. Timothy, here's where you got it. You had a godly mom, and you had a godly grandma. And these people, these ladies, they had an impact in your life. He said, I trace it back to your grandmother Lois and to your mother Eunice, but it's also in thee. And this faith impressed Paul. By the way, Paul is one who knew a lot about faith. And it impressed him so much that when 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, he's praying, he's begging God for God's power, and God reminds him, oh, yeah, think about old Timothy there. And when you're thinking about Timothy, remember his mama? Remember grandma? Remember their faith? A key to young Timothy's ministry was a mother's faith. A key not only to his ministry, but a key to his life. It's not just about ministry, it's about our lives. It was grandma's faith. It was mom's faith. And I want you to notice four things about a mother's faith here that I think are absolutely crucial. And I want to challenge all of us here. You know, we're being watched. We're these little babies, you know, that were up here on the platform. We all know we've done this too many times, right? I don't know how many baby dedications that I have done as a pastor for 31 years. The babies have grown up. They're adults now. And everyone, you know, they start out as a little baby. They're watching everything goes on. They're in the nursery. They're in the Sunday school classes. And are we showing them faith that can be passed on? So that somebody says, I remember your faith, but I saw it in your mom. I saw it in your grandma. Four things about this faith. Number one, it was an obvious faith. It was an obvious faith. Notice the word in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. That means it's not fake. It's real. It's an obvious faith. It's not hypocritical. Oh, we see a lot of hypocritical faith today. But this was something that was not fake. It was unfeigned. It was obviously really trusting God. Here's a grandma. Here's a mom. Here's a young man who they were not just going through the religious motions. They really just believed God. They just believed God. It's like the song that Liz and Brittany sang just a little while ago. God wanted it that way. He just wanted it that way. That's all. Well, wait a minute. Why aren't you mad about it? Why don't you do it? Well, God obviously wanted it that way. And if he wanted it that way, I just trust him. That is an obvious kind of faith. It's faith that is not hypocritical. It's not fake. It's not just going through the motions. Obviously, they were saved mothers. Obviously, grandmother and mother, they trusted Jesus as their Savior. Obviously, there was a time when they realized they needed to call upon the Lord to save their souls, and they asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior. It was obvious faith. I mean, really believing God. Oh, we see so much fake stuff today, and it's so refreshing when it's obvious. Yeah, it was so refreshing there in the parking lot to see some teachers at our school, thank God for them, who just said, well, I'm just praying that God will keep the rain away. But one teacher said, but if it rains, that must be what God wants. Oh, there's no greater. That's faith, folks. And it was obvious faith. And it was obvious to Eunice about her mom, Lois. Here's little Eunice growing up, and she saw real faith. Obvious. It was obvious to her about her mother, Lois. And then it was obvious to Timothy as he's growing up. It was obvious about his mother. What's that mean? That means that day in and day out, they just believe God. Day in and day out. I'm talking about as Eunice is growing up, every day she saw her mother, Lois, just trusting God. Timothy, when he's just a little boy, he hears his mother pray and just believe God. And it was obvious to Paul as he watched Timothy then. And Paul traced it back and said, wow, your mom. Wow, her mom. They had real faith. It was obvious faith. It wasn't fake. You see, here's what I think. I think Eunice heard her mom pray. I think Eunice saw her mom, Lois, read the Bible. I think Eunice, she watched her tell others about Jesus. I think she saw her mom's tears of trusting God and just laying it on the altar and saying, God, I believe you and I trust you. Every one of them, they had problems. They had trials. They had difficulties. Just like we do. But growing up, Eunice saw Lois take her problem to Jesus. Timothy saw his mother take her problems to Jesus. And Paul saw Timothy take his problems to Jesus, trusting that it would be okay. You see, you know, watching them in times of trial, watching them in times of sorrow, because that's really where the rubber meets the road, folks. It's so easy, just everything's going great. Yeah, I'm just trusting God. I just believe God. He did what? What's God do? No. That's when I want to see if you really trust in God, or when those tough times come. Can you say with the song, God wanted it that way? See, yeah, but I don't like it. Yeah, I understand that. But can you trust God with it? See, it's real. It's real faith when the trials come and the sorrow comes and the problems come and we say, I believe God. It's easy to believe God when everything's good. It's easy just to believe God when the roof doesn't leak. It's easy to believe God when you don't when you come to church and there's no buckets. At one time, I think we had 30 buckets out on a Sunday morning service. You know, a little path of buckets. You walk through, drip, 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 drip. I mean, it was playing a song. And it wasn't just water. It was brown, nasty water. Yeah. Brother Stewart's telling people, we're going to baptize in it. We haven't baptized ever since. Scared everybody away. What are you saying? I'm just saying, hey, you got to just trust God. Trust God. And the thing that I love, Paul said, wow, Timothy, you really believe God, don't you? You know, I don't know that there'd be a better compliment for a mom, honestly, than for somebody to say, your child really believes God. I can't think of a better compliment for a grandma than to hear, you know, your grandchild just really has followed in your footsteps and they just believe God. That child just, they really, have you ever had somebody say to you about your child or your grandchild, they just seem to believe God's got it under control. You kind of look at them like, well, yeah, amen. That's how it should be. Oh, would to God these little children, they grow up and they just really just, why? I just believe God's going to take care of it. You see, it was so obvious. Timothy saw his mother Eunice when he was little, and it was obvious faith. She wasn't a gossip. She didn't sit around watching soap operas. She had a sweet spirit. She was a modest, godly lady, not a loud, busybody. It was just, she just believed God. She wasn't trying to make her mark. You know, she just wanted to believe God and trust God for whatever His will was in her life. Obvious makes a difference in a child's life. Obvious faith makes a difference. Honestly, it does. And they know, they watch, they see. You know, it's at home where that's what you really are. And who sees that? Your children. They see it. And what a pattern here. You know, grandmother Lois, mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded in thee also. Obvious faith. Obvious, you know. And these children are watching and they're wondering, is this true or not? Do you understand? They grow up and they're wondering, is this true? Is it true? Wouldn't it have been terrible if everybody got up and all we talked about Sunday after, oh, the roof's leaking, folks. It's over. Oh, what are we going to do? How are we going to make it? We can't survive. How terrible. Yeah, it's been so good that people have been excited and have been positive. And honestly, we have nothing to whine about at all. This is better than probably 80% of the churches in America have right here in our fellowship hall. It works. Somebody say amen. I feel like I've somehow dropped into another church. I started to say a denomination, but I won't. It's Mother's Day, amen. I'm loving and kind, and hey, you know what? It makes a difference in a person's life. To Eunice, it was obvious about her mother Lois. To Timothy, it was obvious about his mother Eunice, and then to Paul, it was obvious about Timothy. It just was an obvious faith. Is it obvious that you're saved? Is it obvious to people around you? Is it obvious to your children? Is it obvious to your grandchildren? I mean, is it obvious to them that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or do they have to guess? Is it obvious to people at work? Is it obvious to your neighbors? Is it obvious? I mean, does your life make it obvious that you really, hey, I just believe God. Do you gripe? Do you complain? Do you worry? Do you fret? When the trials come, when the sorrows come, Or do you just say, you know what? I trust God. I'm not talking about tears. I'm not talking about, going to God and talking to God and weeping to God. But I'm just saying, ultimately, shouldn't we just say God wanted it that way? Number two, it was not only an obvious faith, but it was an obtainable faith. An obtainable faith. Lois, then Eunice, then Timothy. Genesis 1 says this, He made everything to reproduce after his kind. Amen. That's how we know evolution, all that stuff. You know, we know exactly what God did, and everything reproduces after his kind, and people bring forth people. Amen. Plants bring forth plants and all those kind of things. But do you understand that sorrow usually brings forth sorrow, and joy brings forth joy, and all those kind of things? It's only natural that godly faith is passed on as well. What I talked about with the children here on the platform with their parents, the best thing that we can, the heritage that we should pass on to our kids is a godly heritage, where you read your Bible, where you pray, where you go to church, where you tithe. Amen. We just pass that on. That's how it should be. And certainly this faith, it should be obtainable to our children. It should be obtainable to everybody in our church. It should be obtainable to anybody that walks through our doors. It should be obtainable. It shouldn't be something that's so far away that it's impossible. I'm so glad that as a long-haired hippie back in the 70s, I'm so glad that I could go to church, and though the people around me looked a little bit odd to me, and though some of the things that went on as far as the singing, it seemed just a little odd to me, thank God it was something that was obtainable. Thank God it never came across to me these people were aliens that I could no way ever be like. Now, I didn't see myself being like that, but I didn't understand the way God would work in my heart and my life. An obtainable faith. Timothy did not look at his mother and say, oh, I could never have that kind of faith. His mother didn't look at her mother and say, I couldn't do that. It was very practical in their lives. What do you mean? It's just a matter of believing God. We make it so difficult, and yet it's not that difficult. It should be very natural to pass on our godly faith. Again, we're not talking about religiosity. I don't think that's a word, but I wrote it down. We're not talking about a set of rules and regulations or a collection of deep theological truths. We're not talking about the result of works ending in awards and all kinds. Here's what we're talking. We're talking about, I just believe God. Honestly, it's that simple. It is that simple. I believe God. Why do you do what you do? Well, I guess I do that because I believe God. You know, nobody has to get in anybody's face over it. We just need to say, you know what? I just believe God. You know what it's coming down to in America as we are going to get challenged more and more for what we believe. And I'm telling you, it's going to get rough in America. Here's what's going to come down to. Why do you do that? I just believe God. That's why I do that. Well, what about all these? Oh, I don't know about them. I just know I believe God. Amen. It's an obtainable faith. They say, you know, if a dad is an athlete, his son will be an athlete. Maybe. I don't know. If mom's a great cook, the daughter will be a great cook. I don't know if they will or not. Sometimes that happens. Doesn't always. But the most important thing in all the world is show them faith as a child. Show them a faith they can obtain. You know, as a little child, I mean, they pray for everything. I've had children. We used to have children. You know, we'd give prayer requests and everything, and they, you know, pray for my turtle. You know, we're praying for turtles. I'll never forget the first. And I've had this happen many. In fact, just recently, there's been kind of an onslaught here of, Pastor, would you pray for my kitty? Pray what? Yeah, you know. Please pray for Fifi. Oh, God, help Fifi. I mean, seriously, because a child, why do they do that? Because they believe God. They just think that's what you told them. By the way, they're also praying, boy, what a miracle. You know, Marty Dunn, Janine's dad. If you've heard, you know, we've been praying for a liver transplant for him, and it happened. Like that it happened. I mean, there was no planning, no time. I mean, we're talking about it was a few hours, and I mean, he's in the hospital. I get a text from Brother Chase, his old liver's out, and they're putting in the, and I'm telling you, it's like, you know, but there were three little girls that heard Mommy and Daddy pray. If you don't give Grandpa this liver, if you don't give, he's going to go to heaven. We want him to go to heaven, but we don't want him to go now. Please, please, please. And I those little girls, you know, they're watching Mommy and Daddy, and now they're on their knee. Oh, God, give Grandpa a liver. Are you listening? See, it's obtainable. Why shouldn't our children believe God? That's how they should. They should hear it over and over again. And we make a big deal out of the roof. And we make a big deal out of the plastic and putting verses up to remind everybody, hey, he wanted it that way. And if he wants it that way, we can take it and we can believe God. And we know that whatever God does, it's better than anything we can do. Amen. Show them faith. Let them see faith in action. That's why, parents, you rob your kids if you don't give them prayer requests, if you don't let them be part, if you don't pray, if they don't hear you pray, you're robbing them. You're robbing them of faith. You rob them when you don't stand when it's not popular to stand. What's that? I just believe God. Why aren't you joining everybody else in this or that fad or that thing or whatever it is? You know why? Because I just believe God. And they need to know that reading your Bible's right, prayer's right, church attendance is right, going to the altar's right, serving God's right, not griping's right. Ezekiel 16:44 says this, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Boy, take a long, hard look in the mirror. Decide, do you want your children to be that way? Do you want your grandchild to be that way? Take a long, hard look. Because it's true. An obtainable faith. You know, there's no greater compliment than when your little grandchild says, I just believe God, don't you? When your child says, I just believe God. I just believe God. It was an obtainable faith. It was an obvious faith. Number three, it was an obedient faith. You say, how do you know? The fact that it was seen by others proves it was active. Paul said, I see Timothy. I've watched it in Lois. I've watched it in Eunice. I've seen it. It's an obedient faith. James says this in James 2, verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. What do you mean? Faith without action is no faith. Amen. You know, faith without action, it's dead, the Bible says. There's got to be action to it or it's not faith. It's like, you know, the first time I flew. Are you scared? Yeah, I'm terrified. I mean, I didn't want to fly. I didn't think that was natural. If God wanted us to fly, He'd given us wings. You know, you say all those things. None of them work. And I was terrified. And you know, I could have said, oh, no, I'm not scared. Well, why don't you fly? Well, I just don't. Right? You know, how many things do we do? And, you know, it's like the kids on that sky coaster thing, dropping 300 feet down, you know, in a little sling kind of a thing. And you know, whoosh, well, my wife, she loves that kind of stuff. She wants to fly. But anyway, and you know, the first time, I think it was Gabby. Weren't you kind of scared at first? And there were people, I'm thinking of one young man who said, I'm not scared, but I'm not doing it. You say, what'd you say? I said, I'm terrified, and I'm not doing it. And I didn't do it. But you know, somebody says, well, I have faith. Then if you have faith, then just go ahead. If you have faith, you know, well, and we all talk. Well, there's so much talk about, well, I just believe God. I trust God. Then get your CDL. Then serve God. Then get on a bus route. Then go soul winning. Then put your money in the plate. Don't just talk. Do, because It's an obedient faith that our kids are looking for, not just, well, we talk about it. Hey, do you believe it? That's why when a kid says to me, a young person comes, a child, and they say, Pastor, will you pray for my turtle? I'll pray for their turtle. I'll pray for their cat. No matter what the problem. Amen? Why? Because they come and they say, I just want God to do this. Will you pray? Amen. I've got precious little notes for years and years from kids. Pray for. And it's some of the most amazing things. But obedient faith. To see faith means it's being exercised. It means it's being used. It means it's being worked. Otherwise, it's dead. A lot of people talk faith. These mothers, they lived it. Hey, read the Hall of Faith, Hebrews 11. There was years ago, back in Bible college, we memorized Hebrews 11. Much of it I still have retained. But more than anything, it changed my life because I found out that faith is working. Faith is not talking about it. Faith is work. Read it sometime, Hebrews 11. Abel offered unto God. Okay, well, he's in the Hall of Faith. What about his blow? He obviously believed God. He believed me so much he offered unto God. It says about Enoch, he walked with God. It says about Noah, he built an ark. It says about Abraham, he went out, knowing not whither he went. It says that he offered up Isaac. Again, great faith, but not great faith if they don't do something. Moses chose the affliction over the treasures of Egypt. He chose. It's faith. It's obedient faith. Over and over, faith, obey. I believe, I obey. That's why I like the song, Trust and Obey. Because if you trust, you obey. If you really trust, you obey. Amen? No other way. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And what do those around you see? Do they see an obedient faith? Or have they kind of grown up seeing a talking faith? Well, you know, I believe this and I believe... Well, why don't you do it? Do your kids know whether you tithe or not? They should. Do they know whether you pray for money or not? Do they know whether you pray for your needs to be met or not? Do they know that that's something that we pray for? Do they get to see God work or not? Amen. An obedient faith. It was an obvious faith, an obtainable faith, an obedient faith. And then finally, number four, it was an observed faith. And it literally impressed and changed the lives of those around. Seen by Paul and Timothy, but it was a reflection of a mother, Eunice, and a grandmother, Lois. What an honor for these two mothers. Seriously, what an honor. And at this time, the Apostle Paul would like to come and present a plaque. And he stands and he says, I'd like to present this plaque to young Timothy. Young Timothy, who is a young man who's going to pastor, and this is a young man that has believed God, and I've watched his faith, and his faith is solid and it's strong, and I believe that this young man is going to do great things for God because he just believes God. And you know why he believes God, folks? Because his mama believed God. You know why she believes God? Because her mom believed God. And boy, you talk about an honor. I don't know. You know, we gave you a great, wonderful, quality gift from far, far away. That's nice. You'll get flowers. You'll get some got breakfast in bed. Amen. You'll get other kinds of gifts. I think back of some of the quality gifts that my wife has received as a mother. And I don't know of anything better, though. I cannot think of anything better than for a mom to hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, to her child. And grandma to be standing right there. And to hear it too. And great-grandma to hear it too. I can't imagine anything better than that. So many, like Lois and Eunice, they're not mentioned in the Bible, but they've been seen in their children and in their grandchildren. And over the years, there's so many. Do you understand that in heaven, it'll all be made known, just like Paul did here? You know, wow, here's the man, and we're going to give this award to the man, but there's his mom. There's grandma. There's great-grandma. Praise the Lord. And they got saved because a grandma. They walked with God because a mother walked with God. They believe God. They trust God. They obey God. I got news for you, grandmas, moms, dads, grandpas, great-grandparents. I got news for you. Somebody's watching. How's your faith? Is it obvious? How's your faith? Is it obtainable? Is it something that they can do? Is it obedient? Do you obey God? When's the last time you were at the altar? Well, I know you don't always have to go there, but shouldn't you sometime? Is it an observed faith? Is it something, well, you know, I like to practice my faith alone. Boy, that's not in the Bible. Yeah. Yeah, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That men may see. Yeah, you can't. Don't, no, that's a cop out. I'm just saying, what kind of faith do you have? Are you even saved? Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes.